lift your voice.
Now we love you.
We lift your name.
We lift your name in all the earth.
So may your kingdom,
may your kingdom
be established in our praise. Lift your voice with me.
Quietness
worship him. If you have any pledge with you, any money that you have, bring it to the altar.
Generations past, standing on. for young and old, through generations past.
Sing it.
We stand in awe.
Raise your hands of a God.
Of a God so great, we stand in
prayer, fasting, where we pray the Lord
inhabit the praise and the worship of your people. Help us, O God. We know you, O God. As we worship you, we will visit your people. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Wow. See that? Wow. It's a joy to have you back in church. And God is carrying us somewhere. Those of you who have just joined the fast, you are welcome. Because last week, you were nowhere to be found. Say amen. And it takes, you know, when you are coming from Accra, the traffic, no, it's not easy. So to drive all the way or sit in trotro or taxi, the Lord has seen your faith. By coming here, you see, the fact that you are struggling to come here is blessing when you are living. And you will see the fruit of these 14 days. Say amen. And I was having a small meeting with my pastors, and we decided that, you know, normally after the 14 days, with time of prayer, praise, worship, word, and everything, after the fast, on a Friday, then you all vanish. This time, it's not going to happen like that again. Every Friday, I'm going to have a prayer and a prophetic service, just like this. Say amen. So that we are continuing in the same spirit throughout the whole year. And we have lined up 12 powerful major prophets who will be coming here every Friday. It is not going to be easy at all. I'm telling you. And I believe in the prophetic ministry. It is part of the fivefold ministry. The role of the teacher, the role of the pastor, the role of the evangelist, the role of an apostle, and then the prophets. We need all these to perfect the saints. Say amen. So Fridays, beginning from the first Friday of April, we are here. The first prophet to begin will be Prophet Gideon. He's coming here, and there's going to be prayer. Pastor Mike will bring us 20 topics, and then Pastor Stanley will come in worship, then the word, and then prayer and the prophetic. Say amen. So that you don't vanish. February, there'll be handbills shared for us and all that. Every Friday, you will see ministrations and the move of God here. We'll bring others the way ourselves. You know, there are preferences in this house. One of the major prophets here is Pastor Stanley. He's a major prophet, only that he's hiding here. The other day, when I was talking to him, he said, a prophet is without honor in his own house. Meanwhile, when you go and see him outside this church, signs and wonders. He's a wild prophet. Ditto. You see, Pastor Stanley, ditto. Your telephone number and your name and where you come from. He's lying here, cool, as if he only leads worship. You don't know Stanley very well. That's it. You only hear he leads worship. When he goes out, he's a whole conference speaker, miracles, signs. I said, bring all here on Fridays. Pastor Mike, on Thursdays, you'll be doing prophetic encounter. But when he's here, he's like, as if he's a prayer warrior. All those things are changing. Say amen. So will you come or you won't come? Will you ask the person, will you come or you won't come? Because there are some people here, they don't come to things. I want my Friday service, I want this whole place to be full. Friday service is prayer and what? Prophetic service. And I'm bringing major prophets and we ourselves. As you see it like that, we are very wild people. You don't have any idea. Those who follow us, you know. Those who follow us. This Saturday, we went to Harvest Chapel. We went and taught them prayer convocation. We started from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. By 6 p.m., they couldn't find their feet. They didn't know where to pass. Power. But when we are here, it's changing. Tell someone it's changing. Create the atmosphere and you will see who your pastors are. I say you must what? Create the atmosphere.
It means that when we are preaching, don't look at us as if you know us. Behave as if you haven't heard us before. Don't be familiar with the man of God and with the Holy Spirit, and you will see the move of God. Me, there are some parts of Nigeria, when I enter that place, it's a small thing, though. When I went to South Africa, by 7 a.m., I was ministering to at least about 15,000 people. Because the guy has 20,000 seats and about 15,000. When they gave me the mic, they didn't sit down until I finished preaching. I will be telling them, please sit down, let me finish the sermon. Please sit. Say amen. Power. The guy said, I'm bringing you back again. But now that here and that have become some way, I wonder whether I will go or not. Because when I finished preaching, then Dad came and preached. And when Dad preached, then they carried his message about homosexuality. I said, oh, this homosexuality, I mean, my church, I preach it normal. All gay people who are church know that gayism is not allowed here. If you are gay, you are welcome. But you will not be recognized as a gay couple. In South Africa, it is legalized. You are a gay couple. So he went and talked about it, and then they are lambasting me all over the place. I said, they should add me to it because I'm also coming with part two of mine. Are you ready for Dr. Olubile Emmanuel? The guy is powerful. You know, before I bring him up, there's a certain man here who has been with us for 9 years. He doesn't believe in first fruit. He doesn't believe in all this. What is first fruit? It's a way of chopping our money. Every time we'll be making arguments. So this guy was here on Sunday. And then after Olubide had finished preaching, he said, hey, I have been converted. The part that Olubide said, if you are self-made and you know that you made yourself, then you can keep your money. He said that thing, he hunted him too much. He said, keep your money. Keep your first fruits. If you know that you are, it is you who made yourself. So he came to me on Sunday and said, Charlie, I'm converted. I said, all my preaching couldn't convert you. It took a little bit to come and convert you. So we thank God for that teaching ability, the skill, and everything. And, I learned a lot. You know, he preached two different messages on Sunday. So those of you who came for the first, listen to the second one on podcast or buy the CD. And those of you who came to the second, I mean, listen to both of them because he preached a completely different message on the two services. So get all on the podcast or the CD and be blessed. So we are happy to have him here once again. He's like a family member, a brother and a friend. Let me welcome Bishop Olumide Emmanuel.
Hallelujah. Let's celebrate Jesus. Let's give him all the glory. Let's give him all the honor that is due unto him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's celebrate our father, Reverend Steve and his wife, Reverend Stan and his wife. Hallelujah. Now celebrate yourself as you take your seat. A prophet is not without honor, except in his own house. I can tell you categorically, when Reverend Steve came to our church, the 2 days he spent, he shook everywhere. He's not gentle, don't think he's not gentle. At least if you have gone for any of the Christ to the Rural World Crusade, you know that he's not gentle. Praise the name of Jesus. It's always an honor to have a platform to share God's word with God's people. And I want to ask that you please go with me in your hearts, because in the next 2 days, I want to really take us into the realm of the Spirit to show us how things work in the realm of the Spirit. As a pastor and as a businessman, I've been blessed of God. And when I speak about finances, I am not speaking by faith. I'm speaking by reality. The Bible talks about that which we have seen, that which we have heard, which our hands have handled. And many times I see a lot of believers struggling financially. And they think that it is by laboring and working that they'll be able to get the resources increase. But there are some things about the workings of finances in the realm of the spirit that many do not understand. That's what I want to try to unveil in the next 2 days. So I want to ask that you follow me with your spirit. Take notes. Get the tapes. Because I'm going to be sharing some things with you in the next 2 days that you will need to really understand. And you'll begin to see a lot of changes in your finances. Let's begin from the book of Luke chapter 16. Let's take a look at Luke. Luke chapter 16, beginning from verse 1. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord take away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg, I'm ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his lost debtors unto him and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. That's 80. A score is 20. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitation. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Father, we thank you because you are God and beside you there is no other God. The scepter shall not depart out of Judah, nor the lawgiver from within his feet until Shiloh comes. And when he comes, unto him shall the gathering of his people be. Father, we have gathered tonight around your word and gathered tonight to you. Do in us what you alone can do. And let there be a release of your glory in this house. Thank you, awesome God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And the saints of God shout a big amen. Amen. I can hear your amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 to 10. Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 to 10. Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 to 10. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. People of God, we need to understand that we are all stewards of God's resources. And we need to understand that when it comes to wealth and prosperity in the kingdom of God, kingdom wealth is not acquired, kingdom wealth is entrusted. Kingdom wealth is not acquired, kingdom wealth is entrusted.
In the kingdom, you don't acquire wealth. In the kingdom, wealth is entrusted to you based on your trustworthiness. So in order for God to entrust you with wealth, he will test you to see how faithful you are, and then he entrusts you with wealth based on your faithfulness in the kingdom. Now in our text today, we see a very, very important story that teaches us a lot of lessons. Jesus Christ was talking about an unjust steward, a man that was serving another man and was being unjust in the service. And then it was time for his activities to be audited. And when he found out that an audit was impending, he applied the wisdom of this world to prepare for himself a safety net. And Jesus Christ, in trying to use that to explain to us the need for us to understand the working of things in the kingdom, said that the unbelievers, the children of this world, when it comes to their activities, they have a way of using crafty wisdom to have an headway. He said, but when it comes to the kingdom, the children of the kingdom do not understand the workings of things in the kingdom. They try to behave like unbelievers, and yet they expect God to bend his rule concerning them. And God cannot bend his rule because of man, because the scriptures cannot be broken. And then he went on to say some very, very important things. He said, number one, he that is faithful in little is faithful in much. That means, as far as God is concerned, the way you handle little is a sign of how you will handle much. When you study the Bible, you find that the Bible says, seest thou a man diligent in his business, he will stand before kings and not with mere men. So it simply means that the way a man handles his business today guarantees how he will end. If he handles his business well, it's only a matter of time he will find his way before great men. So he says, if you are not faithful in little, there is no way you will ever get to the realm of much, because the way you handle little already shows us the way you will handle much. In about 3 decades of being in ministry, I've seen a lot of people that will say, oh, when I have money, I will do this. When I have money, I will do that. No, you will not have the money. You will not have the money, because if you don't do what you can do with the little that you have, you will find that it will be difficult for you to even have the money, talk less of doing what. Oh, if I just have money, I will build one church for God. No, if you have money now, buy one chair. Oh, if I have money, I will pay for the land. No, if you have money now, pay for a carton of oil for the crusade. Don't wait to say, when I have money. No, you won't have the money, because God looks at your faithfulness in that which you have now to determine whether you'll be faithful. Listen to me, people of God. Many of us have robbed ourselves of deeper dimensions of glory because of our unfaithfulness in that which God tests us with. As a matter of fact, I dare say that many of us in the church are poor because of the love of God. And I will prove it very soon. Because God loves you so much, that's why many of you are poor. You know why? So let's go back to tithing. If you earn 1,000 Ghana cedis, how much is your tithe? 100 Ghana. So if you earn 1,000 Ghana cedis and your tithe is 100, and you don't bring 100 Ghana cedis, how much cost is happening in your life? 100 Ghana cedis worth of cost. So if your tithe is 100 Ghana out of 1,000, and the Bible says you are cursed with a curse if you don't bring the 100. So that means for every 1,000, you have a 100 Ghana curse on your head. Because God loves you, he will make you to lose your job. Because God loves you, he will make you not to have as much as you have, so that your curse can reduce. Because if you cannot bring 100 in 1,000, if God increases your income to 5,000 Ghana, your cost will increase to 500 Ghana. So because God loves you, many of you will remain jobless until you are ready to obey. Hello? The next thing he says is that if you are not faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust true riches? And now, for generations, people have been debating what God meant by true riches. But if you are a man of understanding, you will realize that in life, everything is not about money. Because there are things that money cannot buy. Money can buy you food, but it cannot buy you the appetite to eat. Money can buy you a house, it cannot buy you a home. Money can buy you a car, it cannot buy you protection. Money can buy you a suit, but it cannot buy you fitting. Money can buy you a woman, but it cannot buy you a wife. So there are things that money cannot buy. So when God talks about true riches, he's talking about things that money cannot buy. And there are many people in the church that have been praying and crying out to God. Oh Lord, anoint me. Oh Lord, empower me. Help me to be able to do miracle signs. And God is like, how can I give you power to do miracles when ordinary money you cannot handle? If you cannot handle financial matters, how can I give you the anointing? Listen to me. If your shadow begins to heal the sick and you can't handle money, by the time your shadow begins to heal the sick, you'll be collecting 1,000 Ghana cedi and be giving them invoice for miracles. So God says, if you cannot be faithful in unrighteous mammon, who's going to give you true riches? And then he went on to the third dimension. He said, if you are not faithful in that which is another man's, who will commit to you your own? It's amazing that many of us sow negative seed and expect positive harvest. Listen and listen well. I do pastors' conferences all over the world, and I tell pastors, many of the things you are trusting God to do in your ministry will not happen until you repent of what you did in somebody else's ministry. Many pastors today, when they were members of other people's churches, they were not paying tithes. They were not workers. Now you are a pastor, you expect people to pay tithes in your own ministry. No, what you sow is what you reap. Many of you are working in people's offices right now, and you are not faithful to your boss. You are not faithful to the company, and yet you are expecting to be a CEO tomorrow. No, what you do today is what you will reap tomorrow. If you are an unfaithful staff, when you start your own business, you will reap unfaithful staff. And then it goes deeper, and it says something that is amazing. It says, no man can serve two masters. It says, it's either he will submit to one and disobey the other, or else you'll be loyal to one and disobey. He said, you cannot serve God and mammon. And right there, something opens up. For the first time in scripture, we see something being compared to God. We see something being put on the same level with God. Read your Bible from Genesis to Revelation. You will never see anywhere where anything is compared to God. Not even the devil is compared to God. The only thing compared to God in scripture is this thing called mammon. So we then need to understand, if the devil is not compared to God, if the devil has never been equated to be on the same level with God, how come this thing called mammon has been elevated to a level where the Bible says it has the same power in the heart of man as God himself? So what then is this thing called mammon? Then we see Jesus going through the same experience. The Bible says, and the devil took him to the top of the mountain and showed them the glory of this world. And the devil told Jesus, if you can just worship me, everything you see here, I will hand it over to you. But Jesus was wiser than that. But many are not as wise as that. Many do not realize that in order for you to become rich and wealthy, God is not the only source. In order for you to be rich and wealthy, you are either in the secret court or you are in the secret place. In order for you to be rich and wealthy, you either do it God's way or you do it the world's way. And the way of the world is for you to worship the devil and bow to the spirit of mammon. And when you worship the devil and bow to the spirit of mammon, you will find out that mammon will make a way for you. But listen to me, whatever the devil gives you is temporary pleasure for eternal damnation. So I want to take you into the realm of the spirit and talk to you about this thing called mammon. Because your ability to have wealth is going to be dependent on your ability to bring that that spirit called mammon down. So we're going to be looking at how to be free from mammon. So freedom from mammon is the topic of our discussion. How to be free from this spirit called mammon. Listen to me, people of God. Mammon is the spirit that controls money. And when you have an understanding of things in the realm of the spirit, you will find out that in the realm of the spirit, there are 10 departments in the satanic kingdom. 10 departments in the satanic kingdom that are being ruled by 10 principalities over these 10 departments. And when you have an understanding also, you will find out that in the kingdom of God, there are also 10 departments that are being ruled by 10 archangels. Now you see, whenever we talk about archangels in the Bible, many people do not understand who archangels are. You see, archangels are also angels, but they have been angels, they are angels that are put as coordinating angels. So in the midst of all the angels, God puts archangels over each of these angels so that they will be like a coordinator. Now in church, we have different departments. Now in the department, somebody must coordinate. So the person that coordinates is called a coordinator, not because he is more important than others, but because he has been given a position of authority, and with authority comes responsibility. So just as we have 10 departments, the devil always wants to counterfeit what God does. So there are 10 departments in the realm of the spirit when it comes to the positive, and there are 10 departments in the satanic world when it comes to the devil. And that's what the battle in Egypt was all about. When God was coming against Pharaoh and coming against the entire land of Egypt, you find out that there were 10 plagues. Now, these 10 plagues were directly against the 10 gods of Egypt and the 10 powers of the satanic kingdom. So, whenever you understand how things work, many people, when you talk about satanic kingdom, the only one they understand is witchcraft. That's the only thing they understand. And witchcraft is just one out of 10 different departments. So when you have understanding of witchcraft and you're able to conquer witchcraft and you don't know how to conquer the 9 other principalities, you will still be defeated. And one major principality that you need to know how to conquer is called the spirit of mammon. Mammon is the spirit behind money. That's the god of money. And that god of money is so powerful because unlike any other thing that God has created, it is the only thing that the scripture says contends with God in the heart of man. When you go to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, you see the same thing repeated where he says that you cannot serve God and mammon. Hello. Now listen to me, people of God. What I have in my hand is called Ghana City. Let's begin to look at some things in the realm of the spirit. This is called Ghana City. Well, listen to me. When you look at this now, you think that this is money. But this is not money. This is not. Now, let me tell you something. You are a spirit. You have a soul. And you live in a body. Your body is not you. Your body is the container that houses the real you. So when you die, the body remains here, but the real you goes. Because when you go back to the beginning of time, you will find out in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7, the Bible says, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the earth. So the body was formed from the dust of the earth. Dust thou art and dust shalt thou return. But when the body was formed from the dust of the earth, the body remains stagnant, immovable, and not alive. And the Bible says, and the Lord God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So listen to me, when that body was formed, it was formed from the dust of the earth, but the real man did not have its origin from the earth. The real man has its origin inside God. So when God breathed into man, man came out of God, went into the body, and when the spirit of God came in contact with that physical body, man became a living soul. So when that man ceases to operate, that body goes back to where it came from, and the spirit goes back to where it came from. So the real man is not the body. That's why when you get born again, if you are dark in complexion, you are still dark in complexion. If you are 6 feet, you are still 6 feet. You don't change physically because you are saved. Your change is on the inside. Now, let me go deeper. Now listen, are you ready? Romans chapter 12, beginning from verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now let's download that scripture. I beseech you to present your body. So my sister, listen now. Can you present your Bible to me? Present your Bible to me. So you presented your Bible to me. So you presented your Bible. So you are not your Bible. So you have the power to hand over your Bible to me. Now your Bible is in my hand, but this is not you. You are not in my hand. It's your Bible that is in my hand. So when you presented your Bible, it means you and your Bible are two different things. And you have the power to present your Bible. When it says present your body, it means that there is somebody different from the body that has to present the body. So when he said present your body, he's talking to your spirit man. Your spirit man is the real you, and your spirit man is supposed to present your body to Christ. So when we talk about money, every time you see the paper, this is not money. This is the body of money. The same way man is a spirit, man has a soul, and man lives in a body, money is a spirit. Money has a soul. And money lives in a body. Many of us only know the body of money. We don't understand the soul of money. And we don't understand the spirit of money. But if you are not able to capture the spirit of money, the soul of money will elude you. And the physical paper will never be able to be caught. Are you getting that now? So, tomorrow, I'm going to now take you deeper into the realm of the spirit. And show you what the spirit of money is, what the soul of money is, what the body of money is, and tell you how to capture the spirit so that the physical body can be pursuing you instead of you pursuing the money. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm ready. I can't hear you. Shout it loud, I'm ready. So, people of God, what I want to deal with today is to do what I call a diagnosis. That's why I told you to bring your checkbook, bring your card, bring everything so that we can pray. I want to take you to a spiritual diagnosis. Because the level of unfaithfulness in our world today, the way a lot of people are bowing to the devil so that he can give them what only God can give permanently, has shown that the spirit of mammon is in operation. So what I want to do is to show you what I call a spiritual diagnosis to find out whether the spirit of mammon is already at work in your life. Hello? Because you cannot conquer what you have not identified. You cannot confront what you have not identified. So if you don't know whether mammon is ruling you, there is no way you can fight mammon. Because you will not even know that mammon is already controlling your life. You will think it's normal. Many of the things you are doing that you think is normal is abnormal. It's not normal. It's not. Hello? It's not. So, let me give you 7 ways to diagnose yourself and to examine yourself. To find out whether the spirit of mammon is controlling your life or whether the spirit of God is controlling your life. And when we look at this 7 points, we pray tomorrow we'll go deeper. Is that good? Number 1. If you find it difficult to obey God's financial laws, mammon is controlling your life. If you find it difficult to obey God's financial laws, mammon is ruling your life. 1995, 31st of December, God led me to plant a church. That's over 21 years ago. By 1996, I began to do evangelism from street to street. One day, while doing evangelism, I saw a man wearing what they call a sutana, a white garment church in Nigeria called Cherubim and Seraphim. They don't wear shoes, so they wear white garments. And I saw this guy with a sutana, the white garment, playing draft with some people. And we went there and preached the gospel to him. And as I preached to this young man, the man looked at me and said, I've been serving God all my life. I've not seen any result of service. And I told him, you have not been serving God. I said, you are like those in Ephesus that erected a statue to an unknown God. Their heart was right in the sense that they were looking for something bigger than them to worship. But their strategy was wrong in the sense that they were worshiping the wrong thing, thinking it was the right thing. And they were sincerely wrong. So I told him, if you can follow this God I'm introducing to you and serve him, in 6 months, your life will turn around. So the guy dared me and said he would do it. The next day he came to church with his wife and got born again. And that's how they started serving God. In less than 6 months, God turned things around for him. I don't want to go into the full story, but I'm going somewhere. Then one day, somebody said one day, he came to the pulpit to share a testimony. And this is his testimony. He said that God blessed them with the kind of money he has never seen before. And the tithe was 23,000 naira in those days. And that they put the 23,000 naira in a nylon. And they put it on the table and they were debating. This money is too much. You mean we'll carry all this money to church? So they took the tithe and put it under the bed. And for 2 months, they were contemplating whether to drop the tithe or not. He said, but finally, they just told themselves, everything we have is God that made us. Let's drop it. So they brought the tithe to church. That was his testimony. When I heard the testimony, I knew that Mammon had started working. Because every time you find it difficult to obey God, another spirit has taken over you. It's called the spirit of Mammon. I told you yesterday, tithe is not difficult to go, except it is called a tithe. If you are supposed to give 100 Ghana Cedi tithe, it becomes difficult because it is now called tithe. Because whatever God tells you not to touch is what becomes enticing to you. God tells you, hold on to your wife. Don't commit adultery with other people. You have a beautiful wife at home, but ugly people will look beautiful to you because the devil wants to ruin your life. Everything that God tells you not to touch is what looks beautiful. Now, the same you that cannot give 100 Ghana Cedi tithe, you can use the same 100 Ghana Cedi to eat buffet. You can use the same 100 Ghana Cedi to support your friends. But when it becomes tight, it becomes difficult because there is a spirit that wants to ruin your life. So I called the guy after service. I said, my brother, I sense a crack in the wall of your life. I said, I know where I met you. And I've seen what God has done in your life. I said, if you can put tithe under the bed and debate it for 2 months before bringing it. I said, what you have shared is not a testimony yet. I said, you need to beware of the spirit of Mammon. Listen to me. If I tell you the end product of that man is a whole service on his own, it's a dangerous stunt. It's a whole service. Listen and listen well. This man became so rich that when he invited me for the foundation laying of his land, we were still struggling to pay for church land. He has bought land. Less than a year later, man of God, he invited me for the dedication of a mansion and church was still under construction. When I got to his house, I was amazed. I could not believe. I asked, I said, which bank gave you loan? That this is serious, so you have to be careful. Bank loan, no. He said, no, it's not loan. It's the lost twin. We paid for everything, cash. In my mind, I'm like, cash. And the church building is there. So you have this kind of money. You that I picked up from drafts. But you know what? That house right now is a prophetess that took over the house by prophecy. They lost the house to a prophetess. I'm telling you, when they... Oh, Shalaman, they can't even shatter. Let me... It's a bad news. Let me not go there. So when you find it difficult to obey God, once you struggle to obey God, Mammon is already in charge. Number two, the second one, listen, the second one looks similar, but it's not the same. The second one that will help you know whether mammon is ruling your life is if you find it very easy to disobey God. It looks similar, but it's not the same. The first one is if you find it difficult to obey. The second one is if you find it easy to disobey. Listen to me. There are people that will never... I preached a message called Capacity Building. How that they came to Jesus and they said, let us be on the left and on the right. And Jesus said, no, you don't know what you're asking for. Say, can you drink of the cup I'm about to drink from? Now, because you see, if you don't have the capacity for some things, it will kill you. So Jesus told them, do you know what you're asking for? Listen to me. In the realm of capacity, how high is your capacity in different areas? Pain capacity, crisis capacity, relational capacity, spiritual capacity, prayer capacity, integrity capacity. Now listen, there are people that are married. They are men of integrity. They will never go looking for any other woman. That is how far their capacity is. Their integrity is, I love my wife, I will not look for another woman. But if another woman is looking for them, they don't have the capacity to say no. That's what. So their capacity has level. It will now be, hey, she came to seduce me. Oh, I didn't go after her. Now, what they are saying is, I didn't go, she came. So don't blame me. No, you should be blamed. Because he was tempted in every way, yet without sin. So when we are talking about finding it easy to disobey God, you hear he said, everybody has a price. What is your price? There are people that when you tell them to obey God, they find it difficult to obey. There are people that when you tell them to disobey God, it does not mean anything to them. Why? Because, no problem. God is a merciful God. I will just do it and I will repent later. Especially when you are under the message of grace and they have taught you some errors in, and they call it grace. Then you find out that your will to live for God, your desire to be righteous and hate what God hates and love what God loves is mellowed down by a strange fire called a strange message. So when you find it very easy to disobey God, with meat pie and a bottle of soft drink, you can commit adultery. For a job of 1,600 Ghana Cedi, you can sleep with a CEO. For a little ticket to Dubai, you are already, your back is on the ground. When you find that it's very easy for you to disobey God, mammon is ruling you. Because every time the devil wants to mess up your life, he dangles before you the glory on the other side, like he did with Jesus. So turn to him and say, neighbor, mark your script. Number three. If you are okay with cutting corners just for money, mammon is ruling your life. If you are okay with cutting corners just for money, mammon is ruling your life. I'm a businessman. I'm an apostle in the marketplace. And there are many things I've walked away from because of compromise. Many things. Many things. I don't do government contracts. I don't get involved in anything that will mess up my name because I have a future to protect. If you find out that cutting corners is nothing as long as there's money to be made, you are ready to change figures. You are ready to change expiry dates. You are ready to reduce the quality. Mammon is in control. Mammon is in control. There are Christians that will change the expiry date on their products just to remain in the market and make more money. And they think that, oh, nobody's seen. If you think God understands, does the devil understand? The devil is the accuser of the brethren, always looking for a loophole to mess up the life of believers. Listen to me. Don't fool yourself. There are Christians that run hotels. They run hotels. And in their hotels, all manner of terrible things happen. No standard of righteousness. No standard. Hey, pastor, hey, how can you run a restaurant, an hotel without selling alcohol? Psh, keep quiet. KFC, McDonald's, Mr. Biggs, they have built conglomerate, Pizza Hut. They built conglomerate all over the world, making billions of dollars. They don't sell alcohol. You call yourself a Christian. Until you sell alcohol, you don't think you can make money. Something is wrong with your value system. I don't need you to clap. I'm not here to excite you. I want to deliver you from the spirit of mammon that has messed up your life. Hello? So when you find it very easy to cut corners, as long as you are going to make money, oh, don't worry, nobody will know. No, God knows. The devil knows. And you know. A man took his son to go and steal yam in the farm. They went to another man's farm to steal yam. And the man told the son, be watching, be watching. If anybody's coming, call me. Is that the way to mentor your child? So after a while, the boy started shouting, Daddy, somebody's watching, somebody's watching. Yeah, so the man, said, where is the person coming from? He said, no. He said, I looked to the left, I didn't see anybody. I looked to the right, I didn't see anybody. He said, but I just remember, I looked up, I said, God is watching. The man was concerned about people watching, but he didn't know that God is forever watching. His eyes is going to and fro all over the earth, seeking those that fear him. Number four, if you don't care who is hot, as long as you make money, mammon is controlling your life. Don't be deceived to think that everybody selling cocaine is unbeliever. Everybody selling drugs is unbeliever. Everybody selling cigarettes is unbeliever. Everybody selling... No. Don't be deceived. There are Christians selling fake drugs, importing all kinds of things from India and China and all over. There are Christians doing all kinds of terrible things. Hello? Listen to me. Are you ready for this? There are people that will never give to God because they know that the source of their money is questionable. I'm telling you, they know. So no matter what you say, the people, they won't give because they know that that giving alone, when it enters a place where there is fire, they will catch them. That's weak. They know that problem will come. That's why they don't give, because their source of money is fraudulent. That's why some people, when you come up with a business proposal in church, they will bring money for the business. But when it comes for kingdom, they can't bring money for kingdom. So when you don't care who is hot, as long as you make money, your major is, let me just make money. Somebody will die or something. It's something that will kill somebody. If that's your mindset, you are in trouble. Mammon is ruling your life. Mammon is ruling your life. Because many times, when we don't see how something directly affects us, we take it for granted. But let me tell you something, whether you believe it or not, we are all interconnected one way or the other. What you say is not your problem, will end up becoming your problem. Number five. By tomorrow, we'll go deeper. If monetary gain is what determines what you do, the mammon is ruling your life. We live in a world where what determines what people do is money. Let me ask you a simple question. The job you are doing right now, why did you accept that job? No, sincerely, you don't even know how this thing has messed up your life. Many of you, the reason why you took the job you are doing right now is because it's paying you more money. But it's paying you more money, it has taken away your peace. It's paying you more money, it has taken away your joy. It's paying you more money, it has taken away your time. No time for your wife, no time for your children, no time for yourself. Many of you cannot remember when last you spent 2 hours praying. You cannot, you have gift of prophecy. You have gift of word of knowledge. All these things are died inside you because there's no time to develop yourself. Because Monday to Sunday, you are locked up in one cubicle in front of a computer saying you are working. You are held up in the rat race with golden handcuff in your hand. Some of you, they give you official coffin that you call official car, and they have messed up your future. Why? Because you are locked out of the glory. Listen and listen well. You don't walk to earn. You walk to learn. You don't walk to earn. You walk to learn. So the reason why you should take a job is because it gives you an opportunity to develop yourself, offer value, and make an headway. Not because of money. So if you understand the workings of money, you will not take a high-paying job above a low-paying job that connects you to destiny. That connects you to destiny. Because many of you, the jobs you have taken, listen to me, I travel all over the world. And this is a major problem, especially in the Western world. Do you know that in America, in London, in the Western world, people do 2, 3, 4 jobs here, they are still in debt. You can't see them on Sunday. Pastor, I've got to work. I've got to pay bills. They have been saying that for 26 years. They are still paying bills. Nothing. I don't live in America. I have houses fully paid for cash. No mortgage. They are in America. They can't buy a house. They are buying a car, paying for 7 years. Why? Because they don't understand. They don't. Because they think it is by doing 3, 4 jobs. Listen to me. The Bible says, in vain do they wake up early in the morning and they come back late at night to come and eat the bread of sorrow. Because except the Lord builds, the labor in vain that builds. So if money is what determines what you do, your journey will be very far. I don't know about this generation. When we started out in ministry 30 years ago, it was not about money. We just love God. Young men on campus, teenagers. I got born again as a teenager. Became a pastor at the age of 21. Became an overseer at the age of 24. How many 24-year-old people today have vision? They can't start ministry. They can't start business. Yet they know how to start a relationship. Hello? Call a young man today and tell him that you want to send him to go and open a branch. He will be asking you, what are the package? To go and start a branch, you are asking for package? You are the package. Destiny is inside you. Glory is inside you. The gift is inside you. He said, you won't give me member. You have a wife and 2 children. That's already 4. Where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, I am there. Church has started already. But they're asking for package. You want a car. You want a salary. That's not what brings the glory. If you cannot be anointed with short knicker, a 3-piece suit will not bring the anointing. A lizard in Ghana cannot become a crocodile in America. If you don't have it, you don't have it. No matter the package, no matter how much you package a frog is a frog. Number 6. If you put money ahead of God, mammon is ruling your life. If you put money ahead of God, mammon is ruling your life. Why are many people not here? They have to work. I keep asking people questions. You are a businessman. You have a store. You have opened since 8 a.m. in the morning. What will it cost you to close by 5 once in a week to go for midweek service and recharge your spiritual battery? Now, the customer that did not show up between 8 a.m. and 5, what makes you think that it is between 5 and 9 that he will show up? If not, that the devil wants to mess up your life. When you took that shop, you called the pastors to come and pray. You dedicated the shop to the Lord. And the shop you dedicated to the Lord, you took it back from the Lord and became the Lord of your shop and sent out the Lord out of your shop. It's amazing, man of God. People will have a car. They will bring it for dedication and say they are dedicating their car to church and to God. When we now have a convention, we say, please bring your car so that we can carry guest minister. They say, if I bring my car, how will I get to church? How were you getting to church before the car came? The car has now become so big, you can't give it to church for 1 week. The car that can have accident and kill you now. And when you are in the hospital, you expect us to come and pray. Listen to me. When God is your problem, no pastor's prayer can deliver you. Because there is no man of God on earth that is anointed to answer prayer. We are all anointed to pray. Only God can answer prayer. And if God is your problem, let us pray and shake. God will not answer. So when you put money ahead of God, I don't know about Ghana, man of God, but in Nigeria, we have music ministers, comedians that charge money to come and sing and preach. They not only charge money, but they even tell you to bring the money in advance or else they will not come. If I pay you in advance for a job you have not done, what if you die like Michael Jackson? Who will refund my money? Hello? Listen to me. Life is all about demand and supply. You are only reigning as long as there is a demand. The day the wind blows contrary and nobody is inviting you, by yourself, you will be begging to sing. Man of God, we had this young lady in our country. God just lifted her. Her song was going everywhere. People were just blessed. And in our church, once you charge money, it's not our culture. We don't charge. No, once you charge money, you are finished. You are not coming. Are you coming to raise the dead? Is it not music? We can play your soundtrack and dance to it. We have been playing your song in our car. Your presence does not make any difference. You are coming to play soundtrack. We are the one that was still singing the song. Sit down and let's see what will happen. Are you coming to raise that body? I don't pay nobody. Hello? Listen to me. I don't know what is happening here, but I have been in ministry now 29 years plus. All the keyboardists in our church, the drummers in our church, the bassists, I don't pay anybody any salary. I know that's a controversial issue. I don't pay. You know why? Now, sir, ma, you have children. Stand up. Does your parents pay you for sweeping the house? Do they pay you for throwing out the trash? Why? Because you are part of the family. Because you are part of the family, you have your part to play in your father's house and your mother's house. The same way you are there, throwing out the trash, sweeping the house, cooking, taking care of things, you still go out to go to school so that you can pursue a career. So if the kingdom is a family, and the pastor and the pastor's wife is the father and the mother, and the members are children, why should I pay my children for playing keyboard in their father's house? You only come to church one Sunday, so I should pay. What are you doing from Monday to Friday? You are supposed to. So if you are not playing keyboard, you won't come to serve God on Sunday. No, listen to this, is a controversial issue. We keep putting money ahead of God, and people change church by virtue of increments in salary of instrumentalists. So they are not loyal to any house. Once somebody pays them higher money, they are gone. You are an hireling. An hireling is a bastard. My children cannot leave my house because my television is not big enough. Except I didn't give birth to them. So this young lady became popular. And you know, people like popular people. So they said, "Pastor, let's invite her." I said, "Well, I don't have time. Tell her, if you want to come, this is the budget." So they called her and she said, "No, she cannot. I said that money is too small." Then one of my daughters came and said, "Daddy, please. I'm told you wanted to invite this person. And she's my friend. We are all in the same band together. Can I please talk to her?" I said, "I'm not interested." He said, "No, Dad, let me talk to her." So she went and came back. When she came back, she could not tell me the outcome of the discussion. So I said, "Hey, what's happening? You said you are going to what?" He said, "Daddy, don't worry." I said, "No, I worry. What happened?" She said, "Daddy, I cannot even repeat what she said." I said, "Repeat it." You know what she said? He said, "When I called her and I told her, look, my pastor is a kingdom person. He does not believe in paying people that charge. Just come. When you come and you the glory move, my pastor will surprise you." You know what she told her? He says, "Tell your pastor, water has levels. That they should not desire what they cannot afford. That when your church can afford to pay my fee, call me." I said, "That's what she said." I said, "No problem." 4 months later, she left Nigeria pregnant. She was flying to America. She entered into medical complication. She died in the plane. It's her dead body they carried from the plane into America. 4 weeks later, they had to fly the corpse back to Nigeria. She died. Question, who is inviting her now? How much are they paying her to sing now? Listen to me. Every time you put money ahead of God, there is something called the power of a platform. When God gives you a platform to perform, it's a great honor. You might go to a place and they give you nothing, but from that place, God will connect you to one person that can change your story. Jesus went to the well of Samaria to preach to one woman, but that one woman changed a whole city. Finally, when money is your God, mammon is in control. You say, how can money be your God? Oh, you've not heard of people driving a 2 million Ghana Cedi car to a mountain in Kumasi to go and bow to a local man? You have not seen people going to Ot to look for power? And the person you are going to meet to give you power is living in an uncompleted building, old and tired, and common sense did not tell you that he cannot offer you nothing. People are killing their wife, killing their children to say they want to do medicine for money. Why? Because mammon is in control of their life. So people of God, as I close part one, who is in control of your life? That's why I told you to bring your purse. Bring your checkbook. Bring your bank pass. Bring your, so that we can pray over you today and remove the spirit of mammon. So that tomorrow, when I take you deeper in the realm of the spirit, you take the next step and your story will change. Rise up on your feet. Bring out your checkbook. Bring out your bank card. Bring out your complimentary card. Bring out the tool of your trade. Bring out your point of contact. Lift it up to heaven and begin to pray. Lord, I dedicate my finances and my career and my business into your hands. Lift it up and begin to pray. Lord, I dedicate my finances, my career, my business. If you are a student, lift up your biro, lift up your calculator. You are a tailor, lift up your tape rule, lift up your scissors. You are a businessman, lift up your card, lift up your product. You have a bank account, lift up your checkbook, lift up your card, lift up your passbook and begin to pray. Lord, Lord, today I dedicate my business unto you. I rededicate my career unto you. I rededicate my finances unto you. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Oh Lord, I rededicate my finances to you. Oh Lord, I rededicate my business unto you. Oh Lord, I rededicate my career to you. Oh Lord, I rededicate my source of income to you. In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and begin to pray. A prayer of dedication. Open your mouth and begin to pray. We are going back to God. We are going back to God. We are handing it over to Jesus. It's not by power. It's not by might. But by the Spirit of the Lord. Except the Lord builds the house, the labor in vain that built. Except the Lord builds the city, the watchmen watch but in vain. Open your mouth and pray. Lord, I rededicate my life. I rededicate my finances. I rededicate my business. I rededicate my ministry. I rededicate my academics unto you. In the name of Jesus. Rakopalatekeya. Rukapalaketeleboshata. Rukapayateleboshata. Rukebriandeleboshata. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
I can't hear your amen.
Amen.
Lift it up to heaven and repeat after me loud and clear. Oh Lord.
Oh Lord.
Breathe upon my health.
Breathe upon my health.
My finances.
My finances.
My career.
My career.
My business.
My business.
And my ministry.
My ministry.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Open your mouth and begin to pray.
Lord,
that the Lord will breathe upon your finances. And the Lord breath upon that. The breath of life. And man became a living soul. Breath of God. Breath of God. Upon your finances. The breath of God upon your finances, the breath of God upon your career, the breath
of God upon your business. The breath of God. 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 In the name of Jesus. The breath of God. In the name of Jesus. The breath of God.
In the name of Jesus. Breathe upon me, O God. Breathe upon me, O God.
In Jesus, Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Lift it up once again and pray. Oh Lord.
Oh Lord.
I come against.
I come against
every spirit of mammon,
every spirit of
in oppression, in my finances, and in my destiny,
mammon,
pack your load,
and go,
in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and begin to pray.
I come against
every spirit of mammon, in oppression, over every life, in oppression, over every business, in oppression. Over every career, in the name of Jesus, pack your load and go.
Pack your things,
pack your load and go. 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 Pack your load and go.
Jesus,
mighty name we pray. I can't hear your
amen.
Two more prayers. I've shown you the seven ways to know whether that mammon is ruling your life. And if you are honest with yourself, you can see it at work already. You are going to pray right now. Spirit of mammon operating in my life and destiny, let me go now in the name of Jesus. Pray in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of mammon operating in my life and destiny, let me go now. Lose your hold now. Lose your power 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 now. In the name of Jesus. Lose your hold. Lose your power. Now, put that checkbook, whatever it is, put it in front of your mouth because you are going to prophesy now. He said, son of man, Ezekiel 37, can this bone live? He said, Lord, thou knowest. And he said, son of man, prophesy. He said, and I prophesied as he commanded me. The bones began to locate each other. Then he said, the bones were together, but there was no life in them. Then he said, son of man, prophesy to the wind. And the wind came and life came. You are going to begin to speak to your finances. Speak to your business. Say, dry bones, live again. I prophesy. This year, bank account, money will flow through you. This year, customers will flow. Pray in the name of Jesus. Begin to prophesy. Your bank account will not be empty. Your business will not be idle. This year, we release the breath of God. We prophesy. We prophesy. We prophesy.
Jesus.
Mighty name we pray.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lift it up high as I pray. Tomorrow night, come early. I'm going to be anointing it with oil, one by one. So we need enough time tomorrow. So come early. Today I'm going to pray over it now. You bring it back tomorrow when I finish the message. So that when I'm bringing the oil, you will know what we are talking about. Now we are dealt with it. Let's go deeper tomorrow. Lift it up to heaven. Father, I stand by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Stand upon the authority of your call upon my life. I take my place in the realm of the spirit, far above principalities and powers, dominion and might, and every name that is named. I join my faith with that of the apostles over this house. Lord, I stand as one called as an apostle in the marketplace. And I stand and I contend with every principality of mammon ruling over any finances here. I command you, pack your load and go.
Amen.
The Bible says, how can we enter into a strong man's house and spoil his good except we first of all bind the strong man? I bind every spirit of mammon.
Jesus,
I bind
name.
Them with chains.
Amen.
I bind them with fetters of iron.
Amen.
I render them powerless.
Jesus,
over name. Every life.
Amen.
Over every family.
Amen.
Over every career.
Amen.
Over every business.
Amen.
Over every ministry.
Amen.
And over this house.
Jesus,
mammon, you are rendered powerless.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I declare the breath of God.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Upon every finances,
Jesus,
the breath of God,
amen.
Upon every life,
amen.
The breath of God,
amen.
Upon every business,
amen.
The breath of God,
amen.
Upon every career,
amen.
The breath of God,
amen.
Upon every academic
amen.
Pursuit, the breath of God,
amen.
Upon every dimension of ministry,
amen.
In the name of Jesus,
amen. Amen.
On Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness,
amen.
And the house of Shechem shall possess their possession.
Amen.
This year,
Jesus,
as you walk in the Lord,
yes, Lord,
free from mammon,
amen.
May you possess your possession.
Hey, amen.
May everything that God has prepared for you locate you.
Amen.
Thank you, awesome God.
Thank you,
yes,
God.
Lord.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Shout three powerful amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Under this anointing, bring out your offering. Bring out your tithe, your offering, any seed you have been challenged to sow, package it now. Let's pray over it as we wrap up the service tonight. Let's pray over your seed. This is the time to begin to give like never before. Give to reflect where you are going to, not to reflect where you presently are. Whatever you cannot let go of is above you. Whatever you cannot give is greater than you. Whatever you cannot walk away from is bigger than you. Bring out an offering. Bring out something substantial. Bring out something substantial. Open your mouth and begin to prophesy over the finances. We have books. We have tapes out there. Common sense is not common. Breaking the strongholds of delay. Pathway to wealth. School of money. How to increase your value in the marketplace. Staffing your business. All these materials are out there. They will change your life. Father, as we sow our seed tonight, let your breath be evident in our life. Lord, let the supernatural take over in every area of our lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. As we worship the Lord, I wanted to bring out that seed, drop it on the altar, and give thanks to God. See you tomorrow.
I will be the head, not the tail. Above and not beneath, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. It's turning around for me. I will be the head and not the tail. Above and not beneath, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. It's turning around. I will be the head and not the tail.
Above, not beneath.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Turning around now.
Turning around for me.
I see everything turning around. Everything turning around.
Turning around for my God.
Turning around here.
Turning around for my God.
I see everything
turning around for my God.
Turning around.
Turning around for my God.
It's turning around.
Turning around for my God.
Jehovah turns my life around. He turns my life around. He makes a way
where there's no way.
Jehovah. Jehovah turns my life around. He turns my life around.
He makes a way where there's no way.
Oh
Jehovah,
Jehovah. Oh Jehovah.
Everything turning around, it's turning around, turning around, yeah. I see everything turning around, it's turning in my favor, turning around, yeah. Oh, I see everything turning around, turning around, turning around. It's turning around, turning around.
What a word, 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 what a word. I was telling Olumideda, this is very deep. How deeper can it get? It's deep already. I said there are more deeper things. Say amen. Our the eyes of our understanding is being lightened so that we are not controlled by the spirit of mammon. I've read this scripture, and I think that today I have a deeper understanding of that verse. You shall not serve God and mammon. Say amen. May mammon not be located in your life anywhere. May you not find it difficult to just obey God and all that. So go to the 7 points. And see this of his preachings when since he came here on Sunday, first service, second service, today's message, and all the one will preach tomorrow, because he will finish his part tomorrow, and then Bishop Sapon will take over from London. He's arriving tonight, and he's going to rest tomorrow. He says he's going to come here and listen to him tomorrow, and then Wednesday he will take over, and then Wednesday he will take over, and then he will go and then Isaac will come somewhere in the middle somewhere. And then on Saturday, we have an all day. Now we are going to take all the preachings we have heard and pray from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Say amen. We are praying through until we break through. So clear all your schedule. I know there are outdoorings, weddings, funerals. Put all those things on hold. Whether you go there or not, the person will be buried. Yeah, outdoor, they will name the child. Afterwards, go and give them money and all that. But come and give yourself to prayer and fasting to now take off. We did it first at the convocation. And the testimonies I am hearing from the convocation is amazing. A sister was telling me that she told the Lord at the convocation, by the end of this month, she should get a new job. She was telling me that, just this Thursday or so, she got a brand new job with allowances and things. One of my protocol members said he applied for a job, and the people said, we are sorry, but there are two of you who are qualified. We've taken one and left the other and everything. And then he went to the convocation. When he came back from the convocation, and the old boss who rejected him had been replaced by a new boss. The new boss looked at the two CV and said, it is you I want. Report now. I'm telling you, things are happening. They said, report now. Say amen. Somebody went to the American embassy and they said, you cannot enter. As he was going on the way, then they called him. I said, come back. We are sorry. We shouldn't have denied you. Come and take a visa. She went and took the visa. I see things happening to you after this prayer, after this 14 days of prayer and fasting. Bishop Olumide Emmanuel, thank you for your teachings, insight, revelation. I love listening to you. I'm never tired listening to you. You teach very well. And when you are teaching, I get more messages in your teachings. Hallelujah. Well, our first fruit envelopes are now available. We brought it out on Sunday. So you take it and you begin to pray and obey God, what is going to be my first fruit? Is it going to be half of my salary, my full salary? What is going to be my first fruit? On Sunday, 5th of February, we are all coming to dine with the Lord and also present our first fruit. If your first fruit is holy, your whole lamp is holy and blessed. Amen. So the envelopes will be available at the altar, at the information desks. When you are going, just pick it up, go home, pray over it. Don't struggle to obey God. I was going to postpone my first fruit after listening to Olumide, and today, I have repented for my sins. I was going to shake my first fruit a bit because of pressure. But I have repented. I told my wife, I said, honey, write the whole check of the whole salary. I'm trusting God. Say amen. All right, so we are done now. When we close, come around Olumide, shake him, buy his product. One of the ways to honor a man of God is to buy his products. So go to the stand. There are so many products, so many teachings and preachings. Get copies and bless yourself when you go home. Listen to it. And then above all, listen to the podcast. Play the message on your smartphone. Download the podcast, add it on your smartphone, and listen to the message again. And be blessed. Hallelujah. Don't forget, we are bringing our checkbooks and whatever. And this time, our tokens and items are going to be anointed. So please, don't forget to bring friends and loved ones. And call members who are still working on their computer and that they didn't wear here, that they should leave their computer alone and be here tomorrow. Shall we rise and close the service? All the instrumentalists and all the singers remain. I have a song I want us to do. All right. Your hands are lifted. Amen. Amen. Shira ni e ni ohonyam minyamie ensa nya sida eradie nimdi ni to be. Oh, yeah, what is it?
Shake somebody and say, get out of the way of mammon. God bless.